Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 4 of our 8-week message series called The Miracles of Jesus, as we take one step closer to Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the greatest miracle of all, his death and resurrection from the grave. Now, our series continues to explore the absolute power of Jesus over the enemy, over sickness, over nature, even over death itself, confirming in our lives that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. And every miracle accounted for in Scripture continues to strengthen our faith in what he's begun in our lives, to know that whatever he started, he will see it through to its completion. You know, Billy Graham once said that a transformed life is the greatest of all miracles. So we too, you and I, are miracles, walking, talking miracles. Now, from the 4 Gospels, we count some 37 different miracles that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. But we also know that according to John, that Jesus performed many, many other signs and wonders that aren't even recorded in Scripture, because there was just simply too many of them. As a matter of fact, John 21:25 says, Jesus did many other things as well. And if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Now, spring break is pretty much over for everybody. Boo to that, I know. Everybody's been enjoying a little bit of time off. And as I've talked to some of you, many families are starting to venture out, travel a little bit as the restrictions are easing up. And maybe some of you that have been blessed have been able to get away with your family to enjoy a little fun in the sun. So, in keeping with the March vibes, I figured that today we would talk about laying around the pool. That's kind of goes with the vacation mode, right? We all need a little R&R, and sometimes laying around and simply doing nothing is just what the doctor ordered. Unless, of course, you have no choice in the matter. Now, today we're talking about a guy that Jesus met who also spent a lot of time laying around a pool. As a matter of fact, every day for him looked a lot like the day before for about 38 years. Now, that's a long time. It's a long time to sit on a mat, waiting, watching, hoping. But this was his situation. This man didn't realize that the real wellspring could come from within him. You see, he was too busy convinced that that kind of water, that miracle-working power, would bubble up outside of him in that magic pool over there. See, that was his focus, was outside of his life. So there he lays, waiting, hoping that things will change. Sometimes we fall into that rut, and instead of acting and stepping out in faith, we begin to just sit around, and we wait, and we hope that things will change. Without praying, without seeking the Lord, without spending that time in prayer and in his word, expecting that things are going to change. Now, today's message, which I've entitled Stand and Walk, focuses on Jesus' healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. You see, there was this belief that this pool of water had healing properties that could change your life. Now, this almost sounds more like a Harry Potter movie than it does Scripture, but this was the prevailing belief at the time. And it was said that every now and then an angel would stir up the water, and when the water bubbled up, that the first one in the pool would be healed. And so this guy that Jesus meets was having a hard day. You see, he had tried time and time again to get into that pool, that as soon as it bubbled up, that he would jump in there, but everybody was always cutting in front of them. More people that were more desperate than him to get in would fight their way into the water. And over and over and over again, he missed his opportunity. So today, what I'd like to do as we get started, as we've done over the last few weeks, is I'd like to show you a short clip from the Chosen series. I know some of you have really been enjoying this series, the stories of how the disciples began to follow Jesus, what it must have looked like in that day. This is a wonderful portrayal and very well done. And so I would highly recommend it. You can download the app on any of your devices. You can even donate to help them produce more. But it's just a great way to get the message of what Christ did and continues to do into a whole new audience. So I would encourage you to watch it. So today we're going to take just a moment and watch a scene from The Chosen of what it may have looked like for the man at the pool of Bethesda.
Shalom.
Me?
Yes.
Shalom.
I have a question for you.
For me. I don't have many answers, but I'm listening.
Do you want to be healed?
Who are you?
We'll get to that later. But my question remains.
Will you take me to the water? Look, I'm having a really bad day.
You've been having a bad day for a long time. So?
Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's stirred up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. So...
Look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I've tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go. Get up. Pick up your mat. And walk.
So the man in this account, he won't get off his mat until he sees the bubbles come up within the water. See, he's living as soon as kind of life. As soon as the bubbles come, then I'll get up off my mat. As soon as I get in the pool, then I'll be healed. As soon as I get in that water, all my problems will be fixed. John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, we're going to read that today. So if you have your Bibles, please get it out and let's go through this scripture together. The Bible says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays, one of the holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, lay on these porches. And one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began to walk. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They weren't happy. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. You see, the pool of Bethesda is really an illusion. It convinces us that our lives are nothing more than a series of circumstances. It deceives us into believing that life is found somewhere on the outside of us, in something, if we could just get it. It tricks us into this as soon as kind of life. And most of us can identify with this approach. We say to ourselves, as soon as this happens or as soon as that happens, then I'll finally be better. I'll be happy. All my problems will go away. All will finally be well as soon as. See, the pool of Bethesda has a strong attraction for each of us. As kids, as children, as we grow up, we say, as soon as I get big, as soon as I become an adult. But that thinking, that mentality goes and grows with us into our adult years. And we begin to think the same way. As soon as I graduate, as soon as I get a job, as soon as I get a better job, as soon as I get married, or as soon as I get out of this relationship. You see, we begin to think this way. As soon as I have more time, more money, a better house, as soon as he changes the way that he acts, or as soon as she apologizes, as soon as COVID is over, as soon as I get a vacation, retire, or move to the mountains, as soon as I get over this grief, or lose this 20 pounds, as soon as I get in shape, as soon as, and you fill in the blank. You see, we're caught in this cycle. And the problem is there will always be another pool of Bethesda. Meanwhile, life is temporarily on hold. And the pause button is kind of permanently stuck in the on position. We sit on our mat, self-imprisoned by all of life's circumstances. And for this man, the imprisonment is so great that when Jesus finally asks him, "Do you want to be well?" this man couldn't even say to the affirmative, "Yes." He said, "No, I can't. I can't because I have no one to help me. People get in there before me. People cut me off and yada, yada, yada." There's so many excuses why he can't. Now, I'm not saying that our circumstances are irrelevant or that they have no effect on us, because we know that they do. But you and I are more than our circumstances. Our circumstances should never, ever define us. So, what happened at Bethesda? You see, it was at that pool that Jesus performed a miracle, demonstrating that he is greater than our circumstances. He's greater than disease. and that religious superstitions are always weak substitutes for faith in God. So as we look closer at John chapter 5, as we look at these 15 verses, this story, we see important principles that help us move beyond as soon as kind of living. And the first one, and we all need to understand this one, is that Jesus chose us. He has chosen us from the beginning, and we must realize that we were on his mind before anything was ever created. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. He wants to know you. You see, when the gospel becomes personal, transformation is set in motion within us. I believe one of the messages that John wanted to convey when he wrote this story down was that Jesus, in that moment, chose one among many. You see, as far as physical healing goes, the sick who were camped out around this pool, they weren't looking for Jesus on that day. You see, in their minds, there was already a magic pool of water, and it really provided the miracle that they hoped to get. It's just a matter of waiting for their chance to get in. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for this man, Jesus may never have stopped by and visited this particular pool. You see, for the most part, Jesus healed people wherever he went. But in this case, this story that we read, he wasn't focused on the many. He healed only one who was desperate for a miracle. This man had been in this condition, the Bible tells us, for 38 years, even before Jesus was born. But you know what? I believe God wanted him to meet his son that day. And I believe this, that he's very aware of whatever it is that you're facing today. And he's chosen you to experience this new life that's only found in him. Second thing that we see is that our mind always struggles with the supernatural. Natural thinking is always in conflict with supernatural power. It's the collision of two different worlds. And Jesus tells, or John tells us that Jesus performed this particular miracle on the Sabbath. And so according to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law in Jesus' day, you can't carry your bed, you can't work, you can't do anything on the Sabbath because it was a violation of the law. And so when they confronted the man, he explained that the man who healed him told him to take up his bed and go home. Take it home. Don't forget, this guy had been paralyzed for 38 years, and now he's walking home with his bedroll. He was a walking, talking miracle, just like you and I. So clearly, this was the supernatural. Clearly, God was at work in this situation. But you know what? The Pharisees were still not happy. They weren't even interested in the miracle. Their only concern was Jesus breaking the law, breaking the law. I'm having a Judas Priest flashback right now. Breaking the law. That's the only thing that they were concerned with, hunting down this troublemaker to make sure that he was punished for what he did. You see, they were so naturally minded that they couldn't even understand the supernatural work of God that was staring at them right in their face. You see, we can't understand spiritual things with our natural mind because the natural only understands the natural. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. You see, miracles are supernatural events that lie outside the boundaries of science. That's why it struggles to comprehend it, because it can't be proven naturally. We've all heard the term, seeing is believing. In other words, you need to see something before you can accept that it exists or that it occurred. But you see, in God's realm, believing is seeing. And that's what the Bible calls faith. And then finally, number three, there's always more to Jesus' miracles. I think we often misunderstand miracles as the supernatural means to a natural end. But they always serve a much higher purpose. Now, in this miracle that we study in Scripture, there's actually two parts to it. There's the physical miracle that took place at the pool, that Jesus told the man to stand, and he was instantly healed, the Bible says. But that's where many people stop with this story. But there's actually a spiritual miracle, a spiritual healing that takes place when Jesus meets up with this man again. You see, the story within the story is that the man who was healed physically still needed to be healed spiritually. John 5:14 again says, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. So stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. You know, none of the physical miracles Jesus performed was an end in itself. All of the miracles he performed point to something more about him, point to something more about the kingdom of God, not to mention the spiritual transformation supposed to continue within that individual. But some people miss the spiritual element to some of these miracles because they're only interested in the tangible result, what happens at the end, that he walks away or that the blind can see or the deaf can hear. Another great example of this is when the multitude sought and followed after Jesus because they weren't necessarily seeing the significance of his miracles. But Scripture says they wanted more free food. They were looking for more from that miracle Jesus buffet. John 6:26, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me. Not because you saw signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You see, these people, they were missing the more. There's a spiritual emptiness caused by our separation from God. And unfortunately, as human beings, we all try desperately to fill that emptiness with everything from activities and relationships to careers and endless entertainment. But only God can fill that void. You may have received a miracle in your life, and you know what? I'm very thankful for that. But don't miss the God of the miracle. You need something more than a miracle today, and that's a relationship with the living God. And he's the only one who can expel the spiritual void in your heart. When we admit our sin and receive his forgiveness, that's when true transformation takes place. The Bible says it like this in Romans 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, the life Jesus offers to you and I doesn't happen as soon as. It actually happens now, in this place, at this time, in the circumstances that we're in the middle of. But in the midst of everyone in the room, in the midst of everyone watching this broadcast today, all around the world, you need to know that he comes specifically to you today. He's chosen you. And he asks you and I the same question that he asked that man who for 38 years waited and hoped, and he asked, would you like to get well? If your answer is yes today, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me as we close our service today. Father, we thank you for your healing, miracle-working power. I pray today that as we are strengthened in our faith by reading of your many miracles, that we would always focus on the one who brought those miracles about, that we would not miss the God of the miracles. I pray for everyone watching today, everyone listening today, that in Jesus' name, if you know that you've tried everything to fill that spiritual void, but you've come up empty, if you are waiting for something to happen, as soon as this happens, you're going to get all your life together. As soon as this happens, if that's you today, I want you to know that this is your moment to call out to God and say, Lord, I recognize who you are. God, I thank you for sending your son to die in my place, to die on a cross, to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and to be my Savior, that I would walk in wellness, that the waters of new life would bubble up within me. And I pray in Jesus' name that for all of us who have prayed that prayer, maybe even years ago, that we would not find ourselves drawn off and distracted by other things, but that we would constantly be drawing from the well that is you. You are that living water. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you today for all those that prayed that prayer for the first time, that may have prayed a prayer again as they come back to you and commit themselves. And for those, Lord Jesus, that are trusting you each and every step of the way, that in the midst of our circumstances, we know that you came for the world. But more importantly, we know that you chose us individually. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.